the grace of God, we are what we are. Exploring the book of Matthew, and as a part of this revival, Matthew has taken us to some amazing places and some beautiful truths that and really completely changed the way I think about church, the way I think about how the kingdom works. It's just, it's there in the Word, but we jump around and we skip around, and we're like ADHD Christians. And, you know, we've got to have a Bible plan that gives us one chapter in the book of Psalms, and we've got to have a Bible plan that gives us a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, and something from the Old Testament, and something from the New Testament, and we jump around, and we're in a hurry to get through it, and we never truly see what's there. But we're taking our time journeying through Matthew, and it has taken us to a sticking place, and it has taken us inevitably. The ministry of Jesus always goes to the heart of the matter. The ministry of Jesus always goes to the main problem, because Jesus was here to save souls. He was here to redeem humanity from the darkness of sin and the rebellious self-will of man, and to deliver them up into the rest and the grace and the blessings of God. But in order to do that, he had to dislodge, and he had to break them free from the prison of Satan and our own carnal pride. And Jesus, as we're going through the book of Matthew, we've had quite a ride talking about being born again, and just, you know, seeing how God is doing all this stuff, and he's working all these miracles, and he's kicking out devils, boom, and he's reaching the lost, and he's showing us the message, and he's teaching us his methods, and it's just so amazing to see. And then we start getting into chapter 11, and things start grinding to a halt. Why? Because we had reached a place where the heart of the matter is being sussed out. And the real problems with the church are being sussed out. And it's not as exciting, and you're not jumping around as much, and it's a different sort of way to minister, but it's a part of what God wants to do. Because if we can grasp the painful aspects of the teaching of Christ, the uncomfortable teachings of Christ, only then can we truly know the comfort that there is in Christ. Right. You can't have the resurrection power without the sufferings of the cross.
Right.
And so here we go today, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Picking up where we left off. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Matthew 12, 32. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. The title of my message today is Be Very Careful What You Say Next. Look at your neighbor and say, Be very careful what you say next. Lord Jesus, we honor you today in this house with our best worship and praise, with our testimonies and our gratitude towards you. And we honor you in this house by studying your word and hungering and thirsting for your righteousness. And so we also at this time honor you in this house by teaching your teachings and by speaking your words to your people. And I pray that we would get it, that something would shift in us and in this church as we press on in growth. In Jesus' name we pray. If you want to have something change and shift inside of you, something give way, and you can feel like you all of a sudden are making progress, would you say amen if you want to make progress in your walk with God? You may be seated. every sin at last, and you will be forgiven people. I want to tell you something today. God is a forgiving God. He is a loving God. And God loves you today.
Amen.
And there is nothing that God will not forgive.
Amen.
It is not His will that anybody perishes,
amen,
but that everybody comes to repentance. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And Luke gives us the lineage of Jesus, tracing it all the way back to the first man, Adam. Jesus came to fix what is broken in the heart of man and in the heart of his creation. And that is the problem of rebellion and sin against God. God's purpose is to forgive and to set things aright in our lives. And there is nothing that you can do, there is nothing that you can say that God will not forgive you for saying it and doing it. The Bible said that He has no delight in the destruction of the wicked. He is not a sadist. He is not an angry God or a vengeful God. But He is a loving God, and He is slow to anger, and He is full of mercy. Aren't you glad that He is a forgiving God today? We are not forgiving people. We will hold grudges against people for a long time. Some of us will hold grudges our whole entire lives. It's like a through hiker, Sister Sue, and here they come. We were hiking in 2016, and we met a man on the trail in Glacier National Park in Montana. And he came down the trail. We were at our campsite and resting and getting settled in. And here he comes. I mean, the guy must have had a queen size or a full size blow up mattress wrapped up on the back of his backpack. And I don't know what all, what not he had. That backpack, you could have packed your kid in that thing. And maybe a couple of dead bodies chopped up into pieces, and nobody would have known any different. That thing was so big. And he got to our campsite and stopped for a rest, and his knees were knocking together. And he said, "I had just completed an Ironman just a couple of weeks ago," which is where you bicycle 100 miles, and you swim 2 miles, and you run 26.2 miles back to back to back. But yet he was carrying a pack that was so heavy that his knees were knocking together. And we, you know, of course, me and Bob and Sue, we were like, "Oh, wow, yeah, wow, that's great. Well, man, I bet you are tired, you know." And we're just like, we can't wait till he leaves so we can gossip about him. And as soon as he left, we gossiped about him. Can you believe he was carrying all that junk on his back? What was he thinking? And we weren't being mean, of course, but we were discussing the debacle of somebody who carries things that they don't need to carry.
Amen.
That burdens them down and weights them down with things that they don't need to carry. God doesn't carry our sins around. He doesn't need to do that. The Bible says, forgets about them. He casts them out as far as the east is from the west. And he removes those things and blots those things out from our lives. But we carry things around. God is a forgiving God. And if you want to be like God, and you want to walk a little lighter, you want to step a little higher, you want to be a little happier, and you want to get on in life a little better, you need to learn to be like God. Like Jesus when he hung on the cross of Calvary, and he looked down at his detractors, and he looked down at those who were persecuting him, and had nailed through his hands and his feet, and had beat a crown of thorns into his forehead with all of the stinging poison and the blood coming down. They had whipped him on his back with 40 lashes, with a cat of nine tails that would have glass, bits of glass or bits of lead wrapped up in the straps of it. And there he hung on that cross, and there he spoke these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God is a forgiving God. He is a loving God. Anything that you say and do, he will forgive you. And we need to learn to be more like Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit carry away all of the junk and the grudges and the offenses that we don't need to be carrying. But Jesus said this: there is a line that you should never cross with God. And that is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy, it means to be slow. There is it's a compound word, and one of those words is to be sluggish, and the other is name or reputation. To be slow to name or to give the appropriate honor, to be slow to identify the difference between good and evil, and taking and switching right for wrong and wrong for right, and basically slandering what is good. We read last week how the Jews were accusing Jesus of being a devil, of having a devil, of working in tandem with the devil while he was using, they said Jesus was using the devil's power to cast out demons. And Jesus said, you better watch what you say. You can blaspheme this one, that one, and the other one, and you can say this, that, or the other. But there is a line you better not cross, because if you're not careful, this is the problem though, is we got bad habits. And we say things that we shouldn't say. And when a church is backslid, it doesn't matter what you say. Ain't nobody listening, and ain't nobody cares. Ain't in a word. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just trying to speak y'all language. That's all I'm trying to do. There are when a church is backslid, you can cuss and you can fuss and nobody cares. God doesn't care. The devil doesn't care. And neither does anybody in your community care. Why? Because everybody knows you're backslid and God ain't doing nothing in your life. You are nobody. You're out on the back 40 and you're on your way to hell. And so you're all captured by the devil and you are backslid from God and it's the end of the road for you. And so that when you're in revival, God is listening to what you say. When you're in revival, the devil's listening to what you say. When you're in revival, the community's listening to what you say. And your brothers and sisters are listening to what you say. And when you're in revival, what you say means something and has an impact in the world that we live in. And it has an impact in the spiritual realm that we are operating in under the power of the authority and jurisdiction of God. And Jesus said, let me tell you something. You can make fun of me and you can mock me and call me a devil. You can say all sorts of things against or son of man, but you better be careful, because you got your mouth running and you're saying things ain't nobody ought to be saying. And if you're not careful, you're about to cross a line that you cannot see, and you will never be forgiven in this life or the life to come if you cross that line.
That's right.
If you're in the habit of gossiping, you better shut your mouth and take a break from talking for a little while. Man. If you're in the habit of complaining and grumbling, you better shut your mouth and take a break from talking for a little while. If you're in the habit of running other people down and letting the accuser use your mouth to tear down the church, you better shut up and let your mouth take a break, because something wrong with you and your life. Church, you can't talk like you normally talk when you're in revival. You can't continue on running people down and accusing and saying things that nobody should be saying. You can't channel Satan when you're in revival, because when you're in revival, your words matter. Hear what this pastor is saying to this church. Hallelujah. It's time for you to get your mouth, amen, where your money is. Get your money where your mouth is. Get your heart where it should be.
Amen.
To where you come up in the house of God, prayed through, prayed up, full of the Holy Ghost. Don't need nobody to stroke your feathers. Don't need nobody to wax or grease your squeaky wheel. But you come up in the house of God with a fire in your soul and a praise on your lips and a prayer that has some power. The seven sons of Sceva, they walked in to a man who was possessed with many demons, and they walked into his house, seven of them, holy men of God, and they said, in the name of the God that Paul serves, come out of him. And the demon looked at them and they said, we have heard of Jesus. Hallelujah, because Jesus was revival. We have heard of Paul, because he's in revival too. We ain't never heard of you. And the Bible says that man under the power of the devil took a hold of seven grown men, whooped up on them, stripped their clothes, taken off their bodies, and threw them out the saloon door of his house, and they run off with their tails, hallelujah, or something up between their legs.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hear what I'm saying to you today, church. It's time to elevate your conversation. It's time to elevate your heart and your thoughts. It's time to get rid of some junk and some garbage that you don't need to carry around with you. And it's time to upgrade your spiritual equipment and start walking, amen, in the liberty of the Holy Ghost. But don't use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, the Apostle Paul said. Hallelujah. Because if you're not careful, if you bite and devour one another, that you will soon be eaten up of one another, and you'll become a cannibal Christian.
Yeah,
hallelujah. It's time to stop running our mouths. You know what a running mouth is? Hallelujah. It's like a backside that's got diarrhea. Hallelujah. It drips and drops everywhere. It stinks. It skanks. It leaves a rash. Hallelujah. It runs the toilet paper roll dry. I'm just talking to you today like I would talk, amen, if I was at the soup kitchen. Because y'all gonna laugh a little bit, but you ain't gonna hear a word I'm saying. And before you walk out of the doors today and get off the property of this church, your mouth gonna be running again like somebody's backside that's got diarrhea. Hallelujah. Somebody in this church needs to put a little Holy Ghost yogurt in your gut. Get a little probiotics, a little oatmeal, a little something, a banana or something that will put some solidity to your mouth. And when you speak, hallelujah, you speak as the oracles of God. When you speak as in the under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You hear people talk and you wonder to yourself, what kind of Holy Ghost do you have?
Amen.
James said, it's not possible for bitter and sweet water to come out of the same fountain. And it's not possible that blessing and cursing could come out of the same mouth. He said, these things are wrong. Something wrong with this picture. At last time, Jesus said, if you're going to make the tree good, let its fruit be good. Verse 33, if you're going to make the tree bad, let its fruit be bad. For the tree, and he said, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
You know why he called them vipers, don't you? Because they were talking like the devil. Hallelujah. You can feel it when somebody's talking like the devil. It does something to you. And you know what? I'm sick of it. And I'm tired of putting up with it. And you come around me talking like the devil, I'm going to put you in your place and I'm going to tell you what you need to do. I'm not going to stand for that kind of conversation in my life. I don't need to. If you call yourself a man of God, if you call yourself a woman of God, then you need to start talking like it and acting like it. And if you got a problem, you need to get in the altar and you need to pray with tears until God fixes what is broken with your tree. Hallelujah, until God fixes what is rotten in your fruit. Hallelujah, because it's time. To realize you can't talk like you normally talk. You can't act like you normally act. And you can't think like you normally think when the church is in revival.
Yes.
Amen.
Say it.
You better be careful what you say next. I don't like the way the preacher yells and screams all the time. Hallelujah. You wouldn't like it if the preacher was quiet all the time. Just sit at home and pull up YouTube.com. YouTube.com. Write it down in your notes. Go home and put on YouTube. And you can pull up TV Jakes. You can pull up old smiley face Joel Osteen. And you can turn it on and you can turn it off when you don't like what they're saying. And you can listen to who you want to and live how you like. Hallelujah. But there ain't going to be no YouTube in hell. Amen. There's only going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth until that mouth is finally going to realize what it should have been doing all along. Careful little mouth what you say. We got some plants from my nephew brings me plants every year to plant. It always makes my wife happy because I always stick them in the landscaping somewhere. And we've got enough hot cayenne peppers to start several campfires. And it brought me a tomato plant. I thought, well, how cool is that? Now, this tomato plant needs a lot of sunshine. So I took the tomato plant and I planted it in the backyard right by the swing set. Sunshine all day long, in the morning and the evenings. And then I was able to tie it up, tie the cage up to the swing set and everything. Man, and oh, that tomato plant. How many of you like the smell of a tomato plant? Don't they smell good? Just like you want to rub a leaf and just. This is something about the smell of a tomato plant. Don't rub it on your arms, but you can smell it a little bit. And man, it was red and yellow tomatoes. Ooh, I thought, oh, those are going to be good. And they started popping out. Growing like this, getting like that big. Ooh, I thought, that, I was thinking about all the things I was going to do with that first tomato that I got off that tomato plant. Hallelujah. Look at that tomato. Hallelujah. Amen. Hopefully, church, Matthew takes a turn for the better before we get done. Hallelujah. Maybe you want to come up in my Bible and rip out a few pages and skip me ahead to something better. And you just pray about that. Pray about it. And then the top of that tomato started getting ripe, turned a little yellow, turned a little red. Then I went back out there the next day to look at it, and the bottom was splitting open. And a big hole got in the bottom of it, and all the juice drooled out on the ground. And that fruit, that tomato, rotted on that vine, literally shriveled up into a smashed, frosted pumpkin. And then the next tomato got really big and good looking, and it rotted out. And the next tomato got really big, and it rotted out. And every tomato on that plant rotted, right on the vine. And I said to myself, what is wrong with my tomato plant? Well, it was getting plenty of sunshine, but maybe not enough water, but I watered it some. But there was something wrong with the soil. There was something wrong with the dirt. And it wasn't getting an essential nutrient that helped the fruit to ripen on the vine. And because that nutrient was missing, it caused the fruit to rot. Jesus said, make the tree good and its fruit good. Make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The good person out of the good treasure, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak.
Amen.
For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Be very careful what you say next. We need to be more careful with our words.
Amen.
Because your words reveal what's in your heart. We need to be more careful with our words because our words reveal what's in our hearts.
Right.
You can't correct somebody else. You can't help anybody else when your heart isn't right either. How can you, who are evil, speak what is good? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, there's a lot of things that you could say. You know what one of the commandments was? In the law of Moses, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And Moses said, if anybody takes the name of the Lord God in vain, if anybody disrespects the name of the Lord, that you are to take up stones and stone them to death. That's the word, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Take up stones and remove that wicked person from your midst. Because one sinner destroys much good. Be careful what you say next. Don't be that sinner. Don't be that Christian who, for a minute, gets irritated and lets down their guard. We are in a battle, not a picnic.
Right.
What is wrong with the mind of the Christian church? We're in a war.
Amen.
This is not a beach vacation. Mm-hmm. It's a beachhead. And bullets are flying. And minds are blowing up. And people's limbs are being blown off their bodies. And people's lives are being snuffed out every second. It's time to start paying attention to what we say. How many of you said recently to somebody or to yourself, why did I say that? How many of you said that recently? Why did I say that? I don't know why I said that. That's right. Well, Logan, we understand. You know, if you're sitting on the front row and you're a Sunday school kid, you say something you're not supposed to, we understand that. Why? Because they're kids and they're learning. But if you're 45 or 55 or 65 or 75 years old and you're still saying what the grade schooler is saying on the front row, there's something wrong with your Holy Ghost. If you can go through your day and get irritated and take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as one of your favorite curse words, there is something wrong with you. You are playing with fire. You are getting ready to cross in line. And Jesus said, if you profane the name of God in a sense where you speak directly against God and mock His Holy Spirit, that you will never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. We need to be more careful with our words. Our words reveal what's in our hearts. And out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. By our words, we will be justified. And by our words, we'll be condemned. Let's all stand together today. I know it's tempting to say things. How many of you know it's tempting? Tempting to say things. Everybody's tempted to say things. But somewhere along the line, you've got to stop making excuses and saying you was tempted, and you've got to come to admit it's what's in your heart. It's your habit. And some habits have to change. Some things in your heart have to change. Because if you're not careful, you'll say something that will drive somebody away from God. I respect God. Hallelujah. I would never talk bad against God. My neighbor, on the other hand, I would never disrespect God and take His name on in vain. But my neighbor, my brother, my cousin, I'm just going to tell you what I think about them. You better be careful what you say next. Because Jesus said, as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And that especially applies to the words that you use and the things that you say and the grudges that you hold and the actions that result from those beliefs and those words. Because beliefs and words always lead to action. So I want you to meditate right now. What are your words doing in your life? Are they keeping you bound, casting shadows of doubt over your soul? Are they causing you to stumble and people around you to lose heart? Jesus said, I know that offenses will come, but woe unto them through who they come. It would be better for them to tie a giant rock around their neck and drown themselves and commit suicide in the lake than it would be better for them to commit suicide than for them to offend one of these little people, one of these little children, one of these believers. God's not interested in your pet peeves. God's not interested in what you like and what you don't like. And it bothers me to think that, but God really is not interested in your opinion. He created the world before you were ever born. He ordered out your steps and wrote your name in the book of life before you even made the decision to give your heart to God. God already knew you and what was going to go on with you. It's time for us to acknowledge His Lordship over our lives and let Him have control over everything. I emailed one of my old series, our Wednesday night midpoint, the Holiness series. And I wanted to double check before I emailed it to another pastor for them to use at their church to make sure that there wasn't a lot of mistakes. And I was going back through this. And what was it then? It was a Holiness series because we had a lesson on the Holy Spirit. And I was reading through that lesson and I was like, and it said in there that when God filled them with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And I was like, the Holy Spirit makes you speak in holy tongues. Why? Because what's in the heart comes on the lips and out the mouth. Your words are sanctified and holy and separate unto God. Your mouth belongs to Him. When we speak, it should be His words. That's not to say we don't have our lives. But honestly, I go in the prayer closet and say, God, I don't want to pursue this or pursue that or do this or do that without Your blessing. And then God, I think God speak to me and say, I'll let You do that. That is a blessing that I'm giving to You for You to enjoy in Your life. And that God, let me know. It's okay to put out energy and effort and resources on that because God knows that I need something, a hobby or something that will encourage me to keep me balanced. And so God spoke that to me. I tried to train for a half marathon in 2016 and God's like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you need to be doing something else. And that's exactly what happened. I did something else. Why? Because my mouth belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. My heart belongs to God. My body belongs to God. My possessions belong to God. And when I speak, I want you to hear the Word of God. When I speak, I want to speak a word that sets you free. When I speak, I want to speak a word that leaves you encouraged and strengthened in the Holy Ghost and built up in the faith. It is a lifelong challenge to learn to give Jesus control. But friend, it starts with our big mouths. Let's bow our heads together. Jesus, help us, O Lord.